Hey, welcome back to Extra Features Energy. Today we have a fabulous producer, James Oxford, who sent me five shorts. Not even four, five, because this man's an amazing producer. He can't stop. James, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Now, happy to be here.
Why is a producer not an actor or a singer or a writer or a mic holder? A boom mic guy.
Similar to the reason I'm not a basketball player. I'm 5'6". I don't have skills in any of those other areas, so I have no interest in being an actor or a writer or director or any of those things. I come from a business background, and I actually love producing. It excites me as much as it does an actor to act, I think.
So when you're in production, you're a producer, you have to find everybody, if I understand correctly?
Yes.
So let's start with your first film you sent me, Demon in the Deep. What drew you to the script?
Well, so all of our scripts that we do, there are scripts. So it's me and it's Lance Marshall, and he's the writer, the director, he's an actor. And so we don't go out looking for scripts. All these scripts that we have are ones that he has created, and we are production companies specifically for producing his scripts. So I definitely don't have to go out there and look for them. But this was the first one that we had a whole pile of them of different things he had written, and this was just the one that felt like the right one to get started. This was our first one, and so this felt like the right one to get started with.
So let's give Lance some credit. Where'd you find him? At the supermarket or walking the dog?
No, he's my husband.
Oh, there you go. You got to give him some baptized there. So you two can't really get mad at each other on the set then if you're hanging out with him that hard. You must
actually like each other. You have to keep that stuff behind closed doors the best you can.
Yeah, well, that must be tough, man, because I don't know I couldn't work with my wife. It wouldn't work. But you two, that's awesome.
I think what works so well for us is that he has zero desire to produce. The thought of producing something has no appeal to him whatsoever, and I have zero desire to act, write, or direct. And so we're not stepping on each other's toes, so I think that helps a great deal.
I think that's great that you guys found something in common, that you got something to do. Okay, so let's go to Demon in the Deep in Oakland. I love this old house.
Because that was step one. So when he finished that script and we started talking about it, and I'm from Oklahoma originally, and he's from Texas. And so, but we live in upstate New York. So we had to, so step one, you know, all of our films take place theoretically in Texas or Oklahoma in the South, in rural locations. And so we're like, we need to find something up here so that it's cost effective that will fit something that you would think it's in Oklahoma, Texas. The great thing about Oklahoma and Texas are they have very diverse landscapes. So there are parts of the state that look like a desert, and there's parts of the state that are mountains and trees and everything. So you can kind of film anywhere in the United States almost and get away with it, short of maybe the Rocky Mountains or Manhattan. You can get away with it. So I actually just started, my first step was, how do I find this old farmhouse? And because it would be easy if the farmhouse needed to be something that was cute and quaint and country, those are easy to find, or just an old abandoned house that nobody lives in, that would be easy to find. But I needed to find something that technically someone could live in, but it has not been taken care of and is run down. And so I literally spent 2 months looking at real estate ads for old farms that had been on the market for over a year, because I'm like, I need to find someone that would take a few bucks from me and be willing to let me use the house because it's been on the market for so long anyway. They're probably not going to sell it anytime soon. And that's what I did. I stumbled across this house up in Hartwick, New York, and it's on the other side of the Catskills. And we showed up, and it was a hoarder's house. It was all the way roof to floor was stuff. You couldn't open or close doors. The plumbing didn't work. It did have somewhat electricity, and there had been an elderly couple that were living in one room of this massive giant house. And so we talked them into letting us rent it and for the shoot. And we picked out like three or four specific rooms we were going to film in. They showed up with dumpsters, cleared out those rooms. So if you'd went to any other room at this house, you couldn't have gotten in or out of it. But these few rooms, they went ahead and cleared them out, and then we cleaned, and everything that's in it, the set design, is all from stuff we just found in the house. The photos on the wall, the furniture, everything was in that house, just buried under stuff, and we just dug it all out and then set designed the whole place. So it worked out perfect. It's definitely its own character in this film.
So since you work so close to the writer, which is great, because I do have some questions,
yes.
Is the man having dreams or nightmares, or having just a – and now I know what's going on in your life a little bit better. That does help me with the script. Or
right.
A faith issue. I mean, it seems to be all the above with me.
Yeah, he as far as Lance, yes. He is that what we're talking about, the writer?
Yes. No, I just meant the main character.
Oh, Wes.
Wes.
Yes, Wes, the brother, yes.
Yes.
That's the whole point of this film, is that we don't know exactly what is going on. He is what's interesting about this script is actually we have a feature script that takes place when his character and his sister's character were like 8 and 10 years old. And he wrote the feature first. And so when we were going to do our first film, obviously we were not ready to jump into a feature right out of the gate. So we're like, let's do a short. But we don't want to do a scaled down version of the feature script. So he's like, you know what? I'm going to write a short that tells us what happens to these two kids when they become adults. And so you have these two kids that have a pretty messed up childhood that is religiously oppressive, and they are, but their parents have passed away, and so there is just this weird turmoil in this house where they feel attached to each other. He does not feel like he can leave her behind and leave her on her own. He is supposed to take care of her, and she is someone who just cannot seem to function on her own. And so no one's having nightmares per se, but she is either being attacked by a demon, or she is making it up so that he will not go anywhere, or he is, you know, some people have even said, they're like, is he doing stuff? You know, is he hurting her at night? And the answer is maybe. Any of those are a possibility.
I never got the chance. I thought he wanted to go off with the other man, and that was his issue.
He did, but he also did not want to leave.
That was my issue. That was his problem. I thought he was having issues with his sister. She was having issues. He wanted to go off with this other man, but he couldn't do it because of his sister. That's the way I took the story.
Correct. But before this guy showed up, this has been their whole life together. They've never really been apart. And so even if this guy had never shown up, this situation that's going on between him and her still exists. This guy showing up is just a little bit of a catalyst. It's kind of the first time he has an opportunity to think about what would life be like if I were to leave and to do something for myself. What would that be like? And what's interesting is for her, it's also something for her. What would it be like if he left? You know, and you see in the film that he wants to go, but he feels like she doesn't want him to, and she actually comes across like she wants him to follow his heart. Yeah, exactly, but he won't.
But I do have a couple more. You have it very dark. The film is very, very dark, I find. And then at the end of the film, bright at the end of the film. Now, that's supposed to be okay. The faith is over. The crisis is over, I took it as. But then I have notes like dead babies everywhere. Did she kill everyone? You really kind of leave me here. Don't know.
She knows that he's not going to leave, that he feels obligated, and that they're going to be stuck in this cycle for the rest of their lives.
Okay.
And so she's like, I'm going to fix this. And killing him fixes it, and killing myself fixes it, then that's better than being stuck in this cycle for the
rest of
life.
That's what I was wondering. Is it another nightmare? So where did you find your actors?
So that's the other great thing about that Lance has been acting for years, and these are all people that he's worked with on past projects.
Great projects.
And the same thing goes with the DP and the lighting and the sound. As he was working on other projects, he always had his eye open for who seemed really great to work with. Because not only do you need to be talented, but we wanted people that had to have the right mindset. We didn't want egos. We didn't want people who were temperamental and going to throw a fit. We're like, you're going to enjoy this project and you're going to enjoy this experience. And so he was just over, you know, 3 or 4 years had kind of met these people on different projects and we had become close friends with them. So when we did this first film, we knew exactly all these roles, cast and crew, to be honest, already had the people in mind that we were going to use in them. So we weren't in a situation of writing it and then trying to find out who was going to play these roles. We always knew who was going to play them.
Well, that really makes your producing job easy then. So does your job as a producer at this point come like trying to get into the festival, trying to get publicity for it? Is that what you're taking a role on now or?
Well, no. So to be honest, so it is because I do all the producing roles. So they are SAG actors. So I did all the SAG contracts.
Oh, okay. That's stuff I didn't know.
Yeah, so I did the budgets. I did, you know, of course, found the location, worked out the contracts with for the people who own the location, all the lodging, all the transportation, all the food, all the production insurance. The knife that we used in that film was a prop knife, so just finding any sort of props that we needed. Just a side note, that knife is the exact same knife that is used in the film Halloween. We rented it from the same place in New York City, and when I went to pick it up, they said, "Oh, FYI, just so you know, this is the Halloween knife." So that's something exciting. I'm like, cool. I don't remember which Halloween, but
it's probably the one.
I want to say the Rob Zombie one, but I don't know if that's true or not.
Oh, it could be. Who knows? Doesn't matter. It's still a good story. You gotta
it's still
go
a
with
good
it.
Story. So there's definitely a lot of different pieces, and like I said, there was no working plumbing, so there was no bathroom, so I had to rent porta potties that were on set so people go to the restroom, wash their hands, things like that. So, yeah, there's plenty of things that we're still to do.
Well, see, I have to ask these questions, right? Because
yeah,
I want to know what
yeah.
you do. So, did you take it on the film festival circuit, or you just sort of plopped it online, or what'd you do with it?
No. Yeah, no, we did the film festival circuit. You know, and you shoot for all of them. And I'm not going to lie, we spent quite a bit putting it out there because it was our first one. And to be honest, we went into it very blind. You know, like I think any filmmaker does their very first time, you don't really know what to expect. And so, you know, you submit to the Sundances and the South by Southwest and the Cannes and cross your fingers and realistically get a disappointing response from them. But that being said, we still got into some really great film festivals that when you showed up and you saw the other films, you're like, oh, I'm proud to be here. These are some awesome films. And so you felt really honored to be a part of what they had. And then there was other film festivals that, you know, there's a zillion of them out there and some are great and some are okay. And some are not great.
It's all good. I hear about it all. I hear about
yeah.
them all. So is your second film The Taking of Ezra Brody?
Yes.
Okay. Now,
so,
go ahead. You can talk about it.
No,
I have
just
notes.
Say, yeah. So one of the things was just because the lead in from The Demon was, we had met an actor at, Lance was actually doing a class working as an actor in a class at Columbia and, he did a scene and there was an actor there who just was auditing the class. And he, after the class was over, he walked up to Lance and said, "Oh, I loved your performance, thought you did a great job." And oddly enough, the actor happened to be from Lance's all-time favorite movie, which is Mysterious Skin by Greg Araki. And so he, his name is Bill Sage, and so he is a character actor. He's on the first season of Happy Leonard. He's in every TV show you've ever watched. He's on Power right now. This season of Power, he's in the full season. And so Lance said, "Well, we actually just finished this movie called The Demon Deep in Oklahoma, and I don't know if you'd be interested in seeing it." He goes, "Yeah, I'd love to," because we were getting ready to do our private screening for all the friends and family and cast and crew and et cetera. And he showed up with his wife, and he watched it, and he loved it, and he's like, "I would love to do something with you guys." And so that's how we met him, and so then so Lance started writing The Taking of Ezra Bodine so that it would be an opportunity to work with Bill. So that's kind of how that one came about.
Well, look at all the stuff. Lance is doing some great work for you guys. He's finding
some great stuff, yeah.
TV, you got all the other stuff done. You guys are a great team. I'm so impressed. And taking every Brody, you start off with just talking and at the beginning and no picture.
Correct.
And, there's no establishing shot again until the one location again. And I noticed, I'm like, Was there a reason for that?
It was just that he wanted to be able to, he just wanted you to immediately have nothing to focus on but the words that he was saying. So as he's talking, that's all you're really focusing on, and then it brings you into the shot. He just thought that would be an interesting way to introduce the film, and to be honest, that's one of the things we love about short films, is that you can kind of play around with that. You know, you're not dealing with these giant, massive budgets, so you can kind of experiment a little bit. And so with this one, we're like, this is an interesting way to introduce a film. Let's try that and see what that's like.
And you have one location again. I've noticed that.
Yes.
And that's two films with one location.
Yes, very common theme for us.
Yes, I'm just asking, is that a budgetary concern, or is just more just what he's writing?
Well, to be honest, all of his – everything he writes inherently – is something that's very rural and remote, and so it lends itself to just be a singular location, but at the same time, we do subconsciously think about that.
Okay.
But in all honesty, even if we said, hey, we have all the money in the world, he would probably never write a film that is 100 locations or it takes place on the streets of Manhattan or something like that. It just, those aren't the kinds of stories he tells, so...
It's all good.
It works out, thankfully.
I do have notes. Why is this man after the boy? I don't think that's really told.
He genuinely believes that God is speaking to him.
Well,
he's never even met Ezra. He doesn't even know what Ezra looks
like. Well, that's what I thought. I was kind of like, I'm a little confused. So I'm going to ask these questions. I mean, with shorts, it doesn't give me a lot. So when I talk to you, that's why I'm asking these questions, going, this is what I'm thinking. Because I thought the guy wanted to kill him, and that's what I wrote down, but he doesn't. And then, again, I'm writing, again, a crisis of faith issue. I go, the two men gay. I don't know. Again, I find I have these questions from the other short. So
right.
Is Lance putting that in on purpose just to make other people think, or it's a thinking thing?
Well, he does. He loves films where you walk away, and he goes, my favorite films are when I walk away, and I'm like, what exactly was that? And like, I want to sit down with people over dinner afterwards and us all just talk about what we think it meant or
perfect.
What was happening or what was going on. He loves that stuff. And so he does purposely write like that. He is, you know, obviously we're gay. He's from Texas, comes from a very religious family. And so there is always that turmoil of, or that conflict of faith when you're gay, and so that is something he tries to put in there, but he definitely never wants it to be the point of the movie. He never wants to be that, this is a gay coming out movie, or this is a gay struggle movie. It's just the characters may happen to be gay, but it's not ever supposed to be the driving force.
No, I never, I just don't want you to think I'm taking it as that, but I see that in the writing.
No, not at all.
Okay, good. I just want to like, that's good. I like it. I like the exposure you guys are giving me to different film. I like, he's always something different with these shorts. I'm not seeing the same short over and over again. I'm like, okay, I've been, and I would say that to you if I saw the third and fourth short going, okay, you're doing the same thing again. Why is that?
So with Ezra, this one, there's not necessarily a character that is gay. But you do hear like with Ezra's monologue at the very end, You realize, or may realize, you may have to watch it a few times, but that Dean's character, the older gentleman, he is led the same way that Hawks was. For some reason, he felt compelled to take in this.
Yeah.
At the time, was a child that he interacted in a grocery store. Why? He had no idea. He just felt compelled. And then Hawks feels the same way. He doesn't know why. He doesn't even know what Hawks looks like. Ezra looked like. He's never met him, but he feels compelled to show up at this location and to get Ezra. And when he meets Ezra, you definitely get the sense that this is probably not what he expected. And I also don't know if people pick up on, because we have a little bit of a little button scene after the credits with Ezra and Hawks in the truck, in the van, at the very end, and Hawks starts inheriting this cough that Dean had throughout the first part of the film. And so then you start to wonder, is Ezra having an effect on these people that take him in? You know, they find him and so it's a little bit, it's supposed to be a little bit about the effect that religion, especially a blind faith, can have on a person.
Okay. So, did you shop this one again around the film festival circuit, or is just?
No, we did. Yeah, we shopped it around quite a bit too. We actually, when we were shopping it around, of course, again, you submit all the big ones, and we had submitted to Cannes, and of course, didn't get into the short festival. But they have that thing called a short corner. I don't know if you're familiar with it.
I am not.
At Cannes, and so pretty much what it is they don't accept everybody, but they accept a lot of films into it. And what it is it's really just a database, and it is available during the Cannes Film Festival. And I read up on it. I'm like, is this worth flying all the way to France for this shorts corner thing? And a lot of the articles I read were like, no, don't go. It's a waste of time. And a lot of people's approach was, you get there and then go out on the sidewalk and try to get people to come in to the plaza and watch your film on a computer. Or you could try to rent out a screening room and try to get them to watch it. People have just shown up in the south of France to watch much bigger films than your short film that you have just shot. So that you have to be realistic about what you're doing and what people want to see. So, but the benefit, and this was an article I read, thankfully, that a guy said was, when you get into that short corner, they give you access to all the producers, all the directors, all the executives from all the big film companies and independent film companies that are going to be attending that year. You have their email addresses, you have their phone numbers, you have their addresses, et cetera, et cetera. And he said, what you do is you reach out to them before the festival, and you send them the film before the film festival, and then they have the leisure of watching it when they want to. And if they like it, they'll set up a meeting with you. And so that's what we did. We reached out to several people and set up four or five meetings with some different companies and distributors. And so then we flew there. We flew to Mexico, France, and met with these people and met up with the distributor. And so he loved the film. And then we showed him that I sent him Demon as well. Just I'm like, if I'm sending links, I'll send y'all. What does it hurt? And so I sent him both of them, and he loved both of them. And so then that's how. And this was all before Amazon was an open platform where anybody could put their film on there. You had to still go through some sort of aggregator or distribution company. And so that's how we got those two films on Amazon originally.
That's awesome.
Was just meeting up with him. So it was an awesome, exciting, interesting experience.
Well, it worked for you. That's good to hear. I like to hear success stories other than my mom's side. Oh, okay, your mom's side. So great, you know. Your mom's going to tell you you did a good job. Your dad's going to tell you you did a good job.
Be brutally honest, be dead honest with you. But
so is my mom. She doesn't even listen to my
mom. But she liked them. So
that's great to hear. Now, Mickey the Leaf is just, or maybe I got it wrong. Where's Mickey the Leaf come into here? Is that just a film festival 24-hour one?
No, that was one that after when we did the first two films, we did full-on budgets.
Okay.
You know, we saved up money, and we paid for all of them out of our pocket. We didn't crowdfund or anything like that. Because the thing I run into with crowdfunding, or I've noticed about it, is everyone we know is an independent filmmaker. So it's everybody being like, I'll give you $10 if you'll give me $10. And it's like, okay, well, this is going nowhere.
Yeah,
so so we scraped up, and I do have a full-time job and the benefit of being able to scrape together a little bit of money. And so the first two we did full casts and crew and all the bells and whistles. We wanted to try to be like, what would it be like if we did a film? Like, how cheap could we make? Or I get in trouble for that. I'm not supposed to say the word cheap. How inexpensively can we make?
You can say cheap. It's okay. I accept. Yeah, I would use the same word.
And how can we do this and still make something that's good? And so that's where we came up with the idea of Mickey the Leaf. What's interesting about it is that is just three people made that film as far as on set. So it was Lance the actor, who is the guy in it. So he also plays Wes and he also plays Ezra. That's all the same guy. He was the writer, the actor, and then we had met someone on the film circuit out in Portland, Martin Melnick, and he came in and directed it, and then we had a guy who did the DP. So there was just three of them on set, and that's why we did it in the style of a voiceover instead of actually, so we didn't have to deal with sound on set. And which can complicate things. And then we didn't really have to deal with lighting. It was all filmed outside in the middle of the day. So we didn't really have to deal with lighting or anything like that. So, and they all went and did it in one day. so we didn't need to worry about a bunch of money for lodging and food and things like that. So they went out, they filmed it, and came back, and then we went into the studio and did the voiceover part of it. And we have a good friend who works at NYU who got us some space and did it for literally nothing for us. And so yeah, it was kind of an experiment of trying to, again, just trying something new and seeing how it worked out, if we liked it.
Well, I do have one question. Why is he so mad at the tree?
So I don't know if people will always get the gist of this film, but he was sexually assaulted while he was in the military.
I was wondering that. Something has obviously triggered him, but I don't know. I didn't really quite understand what the trigger was.
Yeah, so he's suffering from PTSD as a result of being sexually assaulted, and he is, and that's why it's called Mickey the Leaf, and which is the military represents a tree, the soldiers represent a leaf, and because you're part of this tree, you feel like nothing can hurt you. You are this big, powerful thing, but in reality, the military is very powerful. The tree is very powerful. The individual leaves can be plucked, destroyed, damaged, and that was kind of the metaphor there. And so he is out in the woods. He's out in a place where we get the sense that he is probably in the woods behind his childhood home or something, somewhere he always used to go to when he was a kid. And he's just working through this. He's working through what's going on. And eventually you may be able to pick up, maybe not, that he ends up taking his life.
I wasn't sure. I kind of wrote that. Is he presumably dead? But I wasn't sure. Again, because I've watched all these shorts one after another, making notes. I'm like, okay, we're going back to the beginning, and I'm supposed to guess again. So he's making me guess a lot. So yes, I keep making notes going, I get the pattern now, because he's making me guess on all these. I'm like, okay, I get where he's going.
Now, makes you guess a lot, and there's not a high survival rate.
Yes, I kind of.
That's the consistency in our films.
I'm not going to meet Lance. I'm afraid now what he might do to me.
Yeah, you should be very scared.
What did you do with this film? Again, I'm going to ask basically the ending question always.
Yeah, it's fun. Because we didn't spend a lot of money on it, we also didn't want to spend a lot of money submitting it to a zillion festivals. So we sent it out to a few, particularly ones we had relationships with. Because after you do a few, you do start to kind of build relationships with some festivals. And so it went to a few, but for the most part, it was film it. It was a great exercise. Show it at a few festivals and then throw it online and move on to the next.
I know we have two more to get to. Have you thought of packaging your films and putting them on Amazon as one big viewing exercise, or they're all different packaged?
To be honest, I don't know what we're going to do with them in the future. I mean, right now, to be honest, I've thrown almost all of them up on Vimeo for free at this point. You know, we're moving on to new stuff, and so it's out there. People can watch them. I'm not really worried about trying to make anything off of them. So they'll probably just stay out there individually out there, and people can watch them whenever they want for free.
What's your feedback been like on them?
It's been really, I mean, to be honest, the only negative feedback we've ever gotten has been in regards to gay characters. So you've just got the people that I would consider trolls that are going out there, and as soon as they see a gay character, they pounce on that aspect of it. But other than that's it. I definitely don't think our films are everybody's cup of tea. They are slow. They're a slow burn. They do keep you guessing. They are not going to tie it all up in a bow. They're not going to make it obvious to you. And some people love those kinds of films, and some people hate those kinds of films. So I think people either love or hate our stuff, but we've never really had any direct negative feedback.
Well, that's good. I hate trolls. If you don't like something, don't watch it.
Don't watch it. I mean, move on. Be like, hey, I didn't like that.
It's a free movie. Just okay. Yeah. Well, you just write, hey, thanks for the free film. Not my thing. And I hate the gay thing. It drives me nuts. Just get a life, buddy. Get a life. And it just bugs me. It's 2000 whatever. You know, we have everything now. Get over it. Sorry. Just a personal thing being a straight guy. It just drives me nuts when people say that. I'm like, I don't care.
I know.
Make a film. I'll watch your film. I'll judge it no matter what happens. It could be all women playing men, men playing women. I don't care. Just entertain me. Sorry, it's just a personal pet peeve I have.
I agree.
I know. You're a little bit different, but that's just me. It just really upsets me when I hear that stuff. I'm like, stop, please. Apples.
Yes.
Probably my favorite one.
That's
it's my probably my favorite one you sent me. I'm being honest, I'll tell you straight up. I love this one.
Okay.
Where is this house?
It is in northern Massachusetts. What's funny about this one is you're not the first person to say that. Actually, one of the festivals that we have a relationship with, because he always says, you guys make a film, send it to us.
That's great.
Love your work. And so we sent him apples, and he goes, this is my favorite film you guys have ever made. And what's funny about that to us is that it cost $500 to make, and it was part of a 48-hour film contest.
Yeah, I guess you told me that in the notes. But again, I don't judge it with how long it takes. I just judge it on what I'm watching.
Yeah, and so it is much quirkier and almost it almost verges on dark humor because it's just so bizarre that you just have to watch and be like, what in God's name is going on? It's just bizarre and kind of silly, and the characters are a little over the top and ridiculous. We loved making it. We had such a great time, but it is funny that, we wrote it and sat down and wrote it in the car on the way to the location. Because what we were doing is we were actually going to a film festival for another film, and we're like, you know what? Let's just go up 2 days early, rent a house somewhere off of Airbnb, and just do the 48-hour film thing, and then when we get done, we'll drive the rest of the way to the film festival, and that's what we did. So we just rented this little house and filmed this little film and then drove. And so we didn't even really know what location we had to work with until we got there. And we didn't know what film we were going to make because you don't know until you start the clock. And so because this was one of those where it's online. So you get to start the clock whenever you want to. It's not a specific weekend and a specific month. But once you log in and say, okay, go, they give you all your criteria and say, okay, so this is a character's name and this is a prop you have to use, and this is a line of dialogue that has to be in there, and this is an occupation, and go. And so then we drive to this location and be like, okay, what could we do with this location? And we just kind of made that up.
Apples, the things you had to use?
No. No, it was literally just the black and white photo magnet that was on the refrigerator that she straightens.
That was it?
Yes.
When she walks through the door and just adjusts it. Oh, my God.
Yeah. So we just needed to draw attention to it. And so they're like, you need a black and white photo. And so when we got there, there happened to be that magnet already on the refrigerator that was black and white picture. We're like, yeah, let's use that. We'll just have her straighten it to draw attention to it so they can be like, yeah, we used it. But it was already there, and that was our one prop.
I love it.
And then our character was the guy that shows up at the door. His last name is Talbot. I've already forgotten his first name. It don't matter. I want to say it's Dennis Talbot.
It doesn't matter.
And he's a mechanic, and he has a line of dialogue that says, I need to see evidence. And we're like, why would a mechanic even say a line like that? That doesn't even make any sense. So we had to try to come up with this weird. So that's why we made the character so weird and quirky and odd, because we're like, we need him to say things that are odd. Like, people wouldn't say things like that. So we needed a character that it was true to who he was, that he would probably say some weird random thing like that. So that was that. So yeah, the apples was just our own creation.
I thought that for sure. I wrote fun dialogue, car guy and the woman. I wrote that in my notes. And whose idea was the person living under the bed?
That was Lance's.
That was brilliant.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant. I was like, what? And then the woman goes under the bed and comes back out. I was kind of like, is she going to do it again? Like, is she feeding Seymour?
Well, yeah, that's the thing. She keeps him under the bed, and she's friends with it. Whatever it is. She's friends with it. So, yeah, we wanted people to be freaked out that there's something going on. You know there's something creepy upstairs. She shows up with this plate of apples and then gets down on the floor. And this thing grabs apples. We're like, oh, that's creepy. And so that was kind of where it was going to end. That it was just going to grab apples. We're like, you know what? Let's have her crawl under the bed with him or it and start eating apples with it.
Yeah, I didn't know if it was a guy or a girl.
Bizarre.
It was great. I thought it had a really scary base in this house.
The basement?
Oh, yeah. I wrote scary basement right on my notes.
It was. That was a creepy, creepy basement. It's not a very big house. But it is a, it has this little tiny basement where the washer and dryer happened to be in that little stove, furnace, wherever that thing is. And it was, it was just, it was perfect. It was also a fun way to, we're like, we wanted to capture her expression when she opens it. We're like, how do we do that? So we tried to clean it up as much as possible. And then we just put the camera, hit record, and then just stuck it in there and shut the door so that when she opened it, you would get her, her expression when she opened it and stuff. So,
well, Apples works for me immensely.
Awesome.
I really, really quite liked Apples, but I like quirky humor. So it did work for me. Now, how did you do at the film festival circuit? I mean, this is a little light humor than your normal ones. It's a little quicker.
It is. We did not, we only showed it at one film festival, and that was the one that we were headed to when we filmed it.
Oh, that's great.
Like, you know what? Let's just submit it to them because it was on the way, and that'll be fun if it gets in, and which it did. And so when we were at the film festival this past year, we're like, that was the fun story that we actually filmed it on the way to the festival the previous year.
But that's a great story.
Yeah, but that's all we did with it. We're like, eh, we're not going to spend a bunch of money on submitting it to a bunch of festivals. And it did win in the festival or the 48-hour film contest that it was in. It's a worldwide contest. So there's people submitting from all over the world. And then it ended up getting in the top 15 of the entire competition and screened in Hollywood. And then our actress, Shannon, won the best actress for the entire competition for that. So
that must make you guys go great. You know, you just did something. We don't even know what we're doing, and we didn't plan anything, and this works. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, Snow Angel to me is confusing.
Yes.
Okay, I put one location again, because that's Lance's. Now I'm getting used to him. I know it's going to be a one-location thing. He's not moving me anywhere.
He's not going anywhere. Yeah.
And I go, the woman shouts, and the crazy clown shows up. I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, that one is the one that, actually, that was filmed on Lance's birthday last year. So we rented a cabin for his birthday, and we brought all of our equipment just in case we wanted to film something. We had no idea what we were going to film, or if we were going to film anything. And we got there, and it was when the really, really bad blizzard hit last March. And we got 2 feet of snow in one day.
Oh, wow.
And so we were snowed in this cabin. And we're like, so we were eating birthday cake. And then we're like, what could we film? We're stuck in this cabin. It's 2 feet of snow outside. What could we do? And so and we brought all this random stuff that we had. So we had a clown mask. We had a prop gun from an old film we had done. So we just had all these little random things we just brought with us. And we didn't write down the dialogue. We just came up with an idea for the film and then kind of ad-libbed it as we filmed it. And so the opening shot was we sent poor Shannon out there. We bundled her up in a coat and sent her way out in the snow and then made her just walk towards the house real slowly. And she's tiny. She's like 5'1" or 5'2" or something maybe. And she's just out there in like hip deep snow trying to get up towards the house. We filmed that. And then what we wanted it to be was, and like I said, this one had little to no thought into it. So I think if we had given it more time, we could have given it some more cohesiveness. But it's pretty much that this guy is about to kill himself. And this random person shows up in the middle of this blizzard, shows up at his door, and starts talking to him, and starts making him realize that he can't punish himself for what happened to his partner. So this guy's boyfriend, who the best we can maybe tell is bipolar or erratic or has issues, has killed himself at some point in the past. And so his partner's left behind, and he's struggling with it, and he feels guilty. He feels like he pushed him or he was too hard on him, and that's why he killed himself. And when his partner killed himself before, it was on Halloween night, and he was wearing a Halloween mask.
Okay.
Like, because there's a lot of backstory that's not in the movie.
Thank
but that's
you.
What we told ourselves.
Okay,
what was
great. You helped me out a lot here. Because I was like, is he sending this to me just to see if I'll watch it?
Yeah, we're just screwing with
you. We're just going to screw with And you won't be the first person to see, because I always think people test me when they send me 5 things, going, is he going to watch them all? And I will watch them all. I make notes on every single one of them.
Yeah.
Because right at the bottom, I don't get it. I wrote right there, I don't get this at all. And I'm going to tell you that.
That's perfectly fine. And like I said, that was the one that we put the least effort or we just we're like, let's just see what we can do. Because to be honest, and we call it an exercise or an experiment. We were playing more with lighting. We were playing with, you know, trying to film something outside in the snow like that. We were just kind of playing around with different things and just kind of putting a story together with it. But yeah, there's a lot of backstory that's not there.
Okay.
So,
perfect. I'm good with that. Yeah. So you guys got 5 films under your belt. You guys are like trucking along here.
Trucking along.
Where are you going next? What's next up for you guys? A feature length finally?
Yes and no. So we have, we're actually gearing up for a couple of shorts, and we have a feature that we're putting the polishing touches on. And so, you know, the feature is going to take a little while too. We're working with a producer out in LA and, who we knew from New York, but he's out in LA now. So we're working with him to kind of get the budget put together and get the financing put in place. But in the meantime, we don't want to set on our butts. So we have a couple of short ideas that we've had for a while that we're going to probably knock out over the next year while we prep to get started for the feature.
Well, I think that's great. I think what you guys are doing is something different.
Thank you.
You're not pounding.
That's what we're going for.
And I like that. I mean, I like the one location idea consistently. I think that's good. I think you guys are very inventive. At times. And I like that. But I'm going back to apples because to me that was just so different than what I've ever seen.
Right.
I just like that. I know it was quick and easy, but maybe that's what just go with it. I like that. And even Snow Angel was different. I didn't get it, but I mean, at least you tried something. And I like that about your filmmaking a lot. So now I guess it's fun question time if you're ready.
Yeah. Throw them at me.
Okay. First one is favorite film.
Favorite film. So this is the only time Lance doesn't like me to speak on our behalf.
No, it's you.
I have a low grade level of what I find is entertaining. So so like I said, his is definitely Mysterious Skin. I don't know if you ever heard of it. It is a dark, dark, twisted film, which matches up with our films. Mine is Christmas Vacation. I've seen it 200 times.
What is wrong with Christmas Vacation?
There's nothing wrong, but it's not the most sophisticated thing that's ever been made.
Does it make you laugh and you're happy? Who cares?
And there's certain aspects of it that remind me of my family, which just makes it that much funnier.
Oh, it's my family, too. I'm totally with you.
Before Christmas Vacation came along, my favorite film used to be So I Married an Axe Murderer with Mike Myers.
I love Mike Myers. I never enjoyed that film. I did try it. He's great.
You didn't.
I love Mike Myers.
It was one of those films that I would quote all the time.
Oh, it's a great – Mike Myers is fabulous. I just think the script has some issues here and there at times.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
But no, I think Gary Maxwell – my friend would argue with me blue in the face that I'm crazy. I don't like it as much as he does. So, I mean, that's all good. It's Friday night. You have people over and they want to watch a film. You guys just want to chill. What do you put on?
Oh, good Lord. I don't know. We don't re-watch anything.
You're
and
same as me.
We are because Lance is a SAG actor, we get all those screeners all the time. So if people do come up,
then
they want to
choice.
See something, we drag out one of those screeners of something we haven't seen yet.
So why did you pick? I'll give you an easy question. What's your favorite film of the Oscar category this year? Best Pictures.
So our favorite film by far this year was Lady Bird. I shouldn't say by far. Florida Project was a close second for us.
Florida Project's my favorite. If you listen to my show,
those
Florida
two were like neck and neck, to be honest with you. If I wasn't such a Laurie Metcalf fan, I probably would have went with Florida Project, but I love Laurie Metcalf.
Okay. I will discuss Laurie Metcalf is just playing her same character from Roseanne, but just smarter. And I will argue that with you. I love Laurie Metcalf. I love Laurie Metcalf as an actress. But I'm sitting there going, this just seems Roseanne's sister, but smarter.
Right. I saw her on Broadway in a film called, and I don't know if I'm going to remember what it was called, but she did one where she was a psychologist who was having early onset Alzheimer's. My God. I mean, it was just such a, it was intense. It was a really, really amazing. So there's certain things about, and there's different actors like that. Everything they've done is not amazing. Kind of like Nicole Kidman. not everything she's done has been great. There's some stuff that's like, why in God's name did you agree to do that?
I agree.
But I still respect her because I've seen stuff that she has done that is so amazing that, you know, I kind of give a pass for anything that is mediocre or lackluster or just average, because I know they're capable of such amazing things. I'm just, so that's how I am with Lori Metcalf.
I just want to touch on the Florida Project for a second.
Yes.
I like the Florida Project more than Lady Bird for only one reason. You couldn't tell me the end of that film.
You couldn't tell you the end of that film?
You, when you get there, you have no idea what's going to happen at the end of Florida Project. There is no
right.
way you know what's going to happen to those characters. And I
yes.
thought it wrapped up perfectly. I love how they kind of just go to Disneyland and you're like, okay, I know you're forcing it, but I'm giving it to you.
Yep.
And I
yep.
thought Lady Bird was very forced at the end. It kind of had to end that way.
Right.
And I think Land Should Like Three Billboards should be his pick, because that's totally his kind of movie that has you have to talk about the ending.
Oh, Three Billboards?
Yes.
Yeah, we had issues with that film. The performances are amazing.
Well, when she takes out the kids at the school is my favorite scene in Three Billboards. When she drops the kids at the school, I died
yes.
laughing.
Yes, yes. And I'm Frances McDormand is someone that I would love to / be terrified to work with. Because she is, I think, such an amazing actress. She is an intense person. And I'm slightly scared of her.
I would use the word fierce.
Yes.
I would not
yes.
want to see her in a knife fight against me. Like, I don't
no,
think she
no,
would
I
stop.
I would lose.
Yeah, and I give that. So there you go. So I can mix the question up for the screener. And I want somebody else spinning Darkest Hour. Did nothing for me.
See, I'm such a history nerd that I enjoyed it. I loved how claustrophobic it was because I feel like that was a claustrophobic situation. You're very much trapped in this small space making this very intense decision that everybody's trying to do the obvious thing and you're having to try to make a decision that is not obvious because it's the only thing that is going to have the best outcome of saving the most people. People are going to die and
yeah.
you're going to have to make a decision to purposely have people die in order to save a larger group of people. So for me, it was fascinating, but it was more from just a historic. I love seeing stuff about history.
Did you watch Churchill also then?
I did.
Okay, and I thought Churchill was a better film. Churchill explained to me a lot more. It was what I was looking for than Darkest Hour. Darkest Hour is like, look at Gary Oldman in makeup and how good I am. And Churchill explained to me what was going on. I'm like, that's what I needed from Darkest Hour was Churchill.
Yeah, but Churchill was it did a great job of explaining what was going on overall, but Darkest Hour gave me the best sense of what it felt like to be inside of him.
Yes, I
like,
will agree with you on that.
To be in his head.
See, there you go. See, I do watch a lot of films, so. And the last question is the easiest question. What do you get at the cinema when you go, or if you go?
To eat?
Yes.
Oh, popcorn and a large Diet Coke.
See, these are my fun questions. Well, I want to thank you for your time. I hope I didn't scare you.
Not at all.
Okay. Do you have anything to promote? You can find all your films free on Vimeo, you're telling me?
Yeah, everything's on. So if you Google Watergun Outlaw, we're the only one. So you'll find us. We're on YouTube, Vimeo. We have a website, watergunoutlaw.com.
Oh,
you'll find us.
That was my last question. I forgot to ask you, why Watergun Outlaw? I forgot to ask you the name of your production company because I liked it.
Yeah, so Watergun Outlaw Productions, and that is because we thought it was an interesting contradiction. So outlaw seems menacing, but it's a water gun outlaw. So it was just kind of a fun little play on words.
I loved it. I thought it was really good.
We came up with it when we did the first film, and so, yeah, we loved it and stuck with it.
Well, thank you for your time. Your films are great. Keep up the great one location, because if you guys go to more than one, I'm going to get confused.
Okay. Well, that may happen, but I promise Max we're probably looking at two.
Okay, Max two. Okay, I'll give you.
Yeah.
Thank you for your time.
If we go
crazy,
you'll be two.
Okay, bye.
All right.